But this will be given by the brother Abu Abdus Salam, who is the Imam and Amir of City Islamic Society, and who translated the book called The Correct Islamic Aqeedah and That Which Opposes It by the renowned Sheikh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah. Before we begin, I'd like to remind everyone of one of the most important fundamental bases of anything in Islam, and that is the intention. And many of us, we have all heard the hadith many times of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى الدُّنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا أَوْ امْرَأَةٍ يَنْكِحُهَا فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَجَرَ إِلَيْهِ. So whoever makes hijrah for the world to gain something for it, to gain something from it, or that he makes hijrah to marry a woman, then his hijrah is that to which he made hijrah for. And whoever has made hijrah for the sake of Allah and for the sake of his deen, then his reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now I've paraphrased the hadith because you've all heard it many times. So inshallah, I think this is something important for us all to remember. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تبارك وتعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار ثم أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في سورة المائدة ومن يكفر بالإيمان فقد حبط عمله وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين وقال ليس البر أن تولوا وجوهكم قبل المشرق والمغرب ولكن البر من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر والملائكة والكتاب والنبيين ثم أما بعد. We began with the praises of Allah, praising Him. We seeking aid in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and seeking forgiveness from Allah. We seek refuge in Allah from the evils of our actions and the evils of our own selves. Whoever Allah Ta'ala guides, the man can misguide that person aright. And whoever Allah Ta'ala leaves to go astray due to his own shortcomings, the man can guide that person aright. I bear witness that nothing has the right to be worshipped except for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala alone, who has no partner. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam is the last and final messenger of Allah and also his slave. After this, Allah Ta'ala says, all you who believe, fear Allah as He ought to be feared and do not die except as Muslims. O mankind, fear your Lord who created you from a single soul, and from it created its mate, and from them both spread out many men and women. And fear Allah from whom you demand your mutual rights, and keep good relations with the wounds that bore you. Indeed, Allah is ever an all-watcher, al-raqib, over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and speak the qawl al-sadida, the correct and truthful speech. He will direct you to righteous action and forgive you of your sins, and whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has indeed achieved a great achievement. Indeed, the best speech is the Book of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The best guidance is the guidance of the last and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. In the worst of affairs of the newly invented matters in the religion, for every newly invented matter is an innovation, every innovation is a misguidance, and every misguidance is in the hellfire. After reciting and then translating the khutbah al-hajjah, the sermon in need, that which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would begin his khutbah, his sermons with, and his exhortations and admonitions, and he would begin his durus. He would begin his durus, or his lectures, when he was teaching the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with this khutbah. And likewise, he taught this to his companions. After beginning with this khutbah al-hajjah, following the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, then we recited to you some ayahs from the Qur'an, some verses from the Qur'an, in which Allah ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالْإِيمَانِ فَقَدْ حَبِطَ عَمَلُهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Whoever rejects Iman, or faith, whoever rejects Iman, we'll loosely translate this as faith for now. Inshallah, in the next lecture we'll find in more detail what is the meaning and definition of Al-Iman. When he rejects Iman, then fruitless is his works, his deeds that he's done. It's fruitless, rendered null and void. And in the Akhirah, in the hereafter, he will be of the khasirin, the ones who have lost believers. Likewise, Allah Ta'ala says that لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قَبْلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ. Which means, it is not birr or righteousness to believe, to turn your faces to the east or the west, yani in prayer. The tafsir of this is in prayer. It is not piety to turn your faces to the east or west in prayer. This is not piety. وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ. But birr is the one, or the pious one, is he who believes in Allah, in the last day, in the angels, in the book, and in the messengers, the prophets forever. So Allah has set a condition for all our deeds to be accepted, and that is the condition of having an iman, of having iman. So jazakumullahu khayra, or jazakumullahu khayra to the brothers at Imperial College, Islamic Society, for allowing us to give a short series of lectures with regards to the topic of a key to increasing our iman, Allah tabaraka ta'ala's names and His attributes, one of the keys to increasing our iman. Why are we studying, before we get on to the main topic, I'd just like to make a note These are actually draft notes. And alhamdulillah, I've only been, I've had about a week to compare them, collate them with looking at some various notes and books. So they're just, they're in no way complete, and in no way do they deal with the subject as a whole, and neither do these lectures deal with the subject as a whole. Rather, what is meant by these lectures is a base for Muslims, inshaAllah, to learn a little about Iman and about Allah's names and attributes and the Aqeed of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and we'll go through this, inshaAllah, in a bit more detail, with regard to Allah's names and attributes, and then we'll see how this links, how Allah's names and attributes links with Iman. So they're just a mere supplement to the lectures, and I strongly advise that the brothers and sisters make notes in charge of the spaces on your slides, on your notes that you have, for you to write down references to the ayat. So a lot of them will be in the slides, inshallah. But just something which is known as wajh al-dilala or wajh al-istidlal, which is very difficult to translate in the English language, but which means basically, when you see an ayah, the way that ayah gives the evidence that you seek to prove from the ayah. Okay, so an example of wajh al-dilala. Allah says, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Say, He is Allah al-Ahad, the One. So we can say, we prove from this ayah that Allah is One. We prove from this ayah that Allah is One. This is known as wajh al-dilala. Okay? This is known as the angle of extraction of evidence, as I remember it being translated once. So, you look at the various ayat, but you have to note down what is it that these ayat actually prove. Okay, what is it that these ahadith, the statements of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, actually prove? These are known as wajh al-dilala. Okay. So inshallah, make notes on those. The lectures will be, inshallah, consisting of the following topics. So we have the introduction, in which we'll be talking about why we're studying this topic. Why are we studying? Why are we gathered here today? Studying this topic, why are we attending these lectures, or why are we giving these lectures? And then that will be followed with the concept of al-Iman. The concept of Iman. What is Iman linguistically? What is Iman technically in the religion? And then, inshallah, we'll be devoting a huge portion of the lectures to the correct understanding with regards to Allah Ta'ala's names and attributes. We define Ahl Sunnah, inshallah, go through what their understanding was with regards to Allah's names, His attributes, and then some further explanation of these points, inshallah. And then we'll bring forth statements of the Salaf, the first three generations and those who followed them in righteousness in Islam, in order to prove the previous lectures, prove the points that we've derived from the previous lectures. So it's not enough to quote the Quran. It's not enough to quote a hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But this has to be backed up. If we're claiming classical Islam, this has to be backed up with the understanding of those who studied under the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It has to be backed up with those who studied under the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even the Sahaba and the Tabi'un, and likewise the Atba' al-Tabi'een, those who followed the Tabi'een in righteousness and in understanding. So anybody can come along with an ayah of the Quran and say this means this, or this ayah, okay, the wajh al-dilala from this ayah. Does everybody understand what wajh al-dilala means though? The proof, what we can get from this ayah. Well, this ayah proves the following point. The wajh al-dilala from this ayah, we need to understand that, the understanding that we get from these ayahs. We have to understand the same things from these ayahs, these verses of the Quran and ahadith and so on, the same thing that the Salaf of this Ummah understood. Why is that the case? Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُ النَّاسْ قَرْنِي, the best of mankind is my generation. ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ, then those who follow them. ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ, then those who follow them. And in other narrations, there is the mention of how after that time there will be corruption and so on. So, if we stick to the understanding of the first three generations of Islam, with the Quran, with the Sunnah, then there will be no room for any confusion. There will be no room for any doubt. Because we find that in this Ummah are many different ideologies, many different thoughts, many different methodologies, and the Muslim may find himself confused. What is the correct methodology? What is the correct understanding? So we find that the only way of understanding what is the correct methodology is adhering to the ayah of the Quran, وَإِن تَنَازَأْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ, that if you differ in anything, if you people differ in anything whatsoever, then return that difference to Allah and His Messenger. How do we return it to Allah and His Messenger? We return it in this day and age by looking at what the Quran says about this, what the ahadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say about this, and then finally, how did the Sahaba and the Salaf of this Ummah understand these ayat? Then we cannot be in any doubt, inshaAllah. With that being the case, we'll start with the first lecture, the introduction to the topic, inshaAllah, and that's got two parts to it. Firstly, why study the topic of Allah's names and attributes? And then within that, you'll find out, inshallah, that the Aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, why is it that we're defending the Aqeedah? Is it just, you know, just for the sake of it? And then why specifically their Aqeedah or their belief in Allah's names and attributes? Fadl. So why study this topic of Allah's names and attributes? If I was to ask you, how do we know Allah? Akh Asif, what would you say? We know Allah through His speech. Has anybody seen Allah here? No. Okay. How do we know anything or anyone? If the brothers want to put their hands up for. How do we know an individual, let's say? Yes.
By being informed.
No. Exactly. That's one way. By being informed by somebody who you trust. That's one way. Any other ways? I mentioned it in the first thing, the first question that I mentioned. Was about that person's actions, good. By sight, you see the individual, so you begin to know about that individual. You see his attributes, so you begin to know that individual. So we've got two so far. Either somebody tells you of this individual, and you trust this person who's telling you, or you see that individual, or you see signs of that individual, signs that this person, for example, and you hear that such and such, he's giving so much money to the poor. So you come to that conclusion that mashallah, this person is a person who cares about the poor, he's merciful and so on. So how do we know Allah? None of us have seen Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So there is no way whatsoever that we can understand or come to know. We can never fully comprehend Allah anyway. But there is no way that we know Allah except through what He Himself has told us about Himself. And except through what His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us about Allah. There's no other way that we can possibly know Allah. Because we haven't seen Allah. We have to trust the revelation. وَمَنْ أَتَّقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. And who is more truthful in speech than Allah? Allah says in the Qur'an. Likewise He says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. And who is better? Who is better in speech or in explaining than Allah? No. So the only way of knowing Allah Ta'ala is through His names and attributes, which we find in the Qur'an and the Sunnah. Now the philosophers and the disbelievers, how do they come to understand Allah? You can answer that question. How did the disbelievers come to understand Allah? In a way. The disbelievers, when they become Muslims, I'm talking about. Okay, when they become Muslims, they see signs of Allah. They see signs of Allah. Ayat, signs. So they see, for example, that either they were created from nothing, or they themselves created themselves, or they were created by someone or something. Yes? The three possibilities. There's three possibilities. That either either you created yourselves, or you were created from nothing, created by someone or something. Only three possibilities. And then they know, and they will never say that we created ourselves. Some of them actually say that they were created from nothing. Once actually when a person asked me, when I asked him these three questions, or this question, he said, I was created from nothing. I said, okay, then produce me something from nothing. He goes, I would need a sun for that. So he's saying, he needs a sun. I said, okay, create a sun from nothing. And then he walked off. So either you were created, or you created, either you created yourself, no one would say that he created himself. Or you were created from absolutely nothing. And that's what it boils down to. You were created from nothing. Okay, no matter what argument they bring, these atheists, they say, when you actually prod into what they're saying, it boils down to they were created from nothing. Then they can see the pathetic, or the pathos of this statement. And the third possibility is that they were created by someone or something. So people, they come to becoming Muslims and come to the realization of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through his actions, his signs. Okay? He's left some signs, and these signs are his actions. So you see, who created the trees? Who created the humans? You know? And things like that. So this will give you the general understanding that, or the general, it will lead you to the general belief in the Creator. And then from there you can go on about how the Creator is one and not two or more. But it will give you the general understanding that there is one Creator, so inshallah from this they can accept al-Islam. But once you have this understanding of Allah, the fundamental, understand that Allah is one and so on, there is no other way of knowing Allah except by that which He Himself has told you, or the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has told you. So what does Allah say? Allah la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Allah, there is none worthy of worship except for Him, the living, the ever living, and the eternal. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. Sleep, neither sleep nor slumber, takes hold of him or overcomes him. له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض. To him belongs all that is in the heavens and the earth. من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه. For who can intercede with him except with his permission? يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم. He knows what is in front of them, and he knows what is behind them. But it's very rough translation. And so on. In the ayah. This is the greatest ayah of the Quran. As Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu recorded from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is in this ayah except the description of Allah? So now, who can give me another such proof similar to what I just mentioned? I'll give you a clue. It's one of the last three surahs of the Quran. Good. Surah Al-Ikhlas. It is equal to one third of the Quran, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Let's have a look what it contains. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Say, He is Allah Al-Ahad, the One. Allah Al-Samad. Allah is Al-Samad, or yani, eternal and absolute. لَمْ يَلِدْ. لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. None is born from Him, and nor is He born. ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. And there is nothing that is co-equal to him. Okay, what is this? All it is a description of Allah, His name, and some of His attributes. Yet it is equal to one third of the Quran. You can now begin to appreciate the understanding of this topic, inshaAllah. Likewise, Allah says, هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُ. He is Allah, the one except whom no one has the right to be worshipped. عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ. More of the unseen and that which is seen, apparent. هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ. He is the most merciful, the bestower of mercy. هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُ. He is Allah, the one except whom none has the right to be worshipped. Al-Malik, Al-Quddus, Al-Salam, Al-Mu'min, Al-Muhaymin, Al-Aziz, Al-Jabbar, Al-Mutakabbir. He is Allah. Okay, and then rather he is Al-Malik. Yani, the owner or the master, the sovereign lord. Al-Quddus, the holy. As-Salam, the bestower of peace. The granter of security, the guardian, the mighty one, the compeller and the proud. These are very rough, very, very rough translations of Allah's names. And the reason I say rough is because there is no perfect translation, and the ulama of Al-Islam have actually differed as to whether you can translate Allah's names. Wallah alam, but the correct opinion but held by the majority of the scholars of Islam was that you can translate them. And we'll see more about this later on in the lectures and so on. So I think now you've got a general appreciation of this particular point, that knowledge of Allah, Allah's names and attributes, is the only way of knowing Allah. The next point, that Allah's names and attributes each bring about various types of worship. And this is a fundamental that many people from Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah who have the correct understanding of Allah's names and attributes, they forget this benefit from Allah's names and attributes. And this is problematic. Because the way of the Salaf is both in belief, in worship, in mu'amalat or dealings with each other, in suluk, okay, mannerisms, or purification of the soul. All of this is encompassed and more. The religion of Islam and the way of the Salaf is the whole religion, not just part of it. There's no point in having the correct, well, there is a point, but I'm saying, you don't have the full benefits when understanding Allah's names and attributes correctly, unless it brings about worship. Let's have a look at this worship. Knowing that Allah Ta'ala, we will go inshallah into much more detail in the next lecture on this point. Knowing that Allah Ta'ala is Al-Aziz, He's the Mighty One. He's Al-Aziz, the Mighty One. It should instill fear in one's heart. Fear, Al-Khawf of Allah. So what is Al-Khawf? Al-Khawf, fear, is an act of worship and in the heart. And then it portrays itself on the limbs, manifests itself on the limbs. So a person who fears Allah so much that he remembers the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, صلى الله عليه وسلم, مَنْ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فليقل خيرا او ليسمت. Whoever believes in Allah on the last day, whoever has iman in Allah on the last day, let him speak good or remain silent. Let him speak good or remain silent. So he says that Allah is Al-Aziz, the mighty one. He's Shadeed Al-Aqab. He's the one who's severe in punishment. It brings about fear of the Al-Aziz, fear of Allah. So you think, let me not miss my salah. Let me not miss my prayers. Let me get on time. Get up on time for Fajr. Why? Because Allah is Al-Aziz. If I don't, he'll punish me. We know that Allah is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Tawwab, Al-Ghafoor. He is the most merciful, the bestower of mercy. The one who accepts the repentance of the slaves when they turn to him. And the one who forgives those names of Allah. So once a person has its correct understanding, it should bring about this worship. Yes, Allah is the most merciful. So what does that mean? It brings love in Allah. Love of Allah in our hearts. Look how merciful Allah is. If there are kuffar who are committing shirk and kufr, yet Allah is still allowing them to breathe the air. Allah has still given them wealth. He's still giving them food. He's still giving them, various forms of enjoyment in this life. They don't deserve that. Why? Because they are creating, or they're committing, the most severe, the greatest of sins, a shirk with Allah, associating with Him, partnering with Allah. Yet Allah is Ar-Rahman, most merciful. Look at ourselves, and only we know our own sins. And yet, Allah Ta'ala has been so merciful that He hasn't exposed us in front of the people. He hasn't. He's allowed us time to repent. He's merciful. It gives us hope in Allah, in His paradise. All this comes from the names and attributes of Allah. The hope in the paradise. Why? Because He's Ar-Rahman, He's Ar-Rahim. So the various names, and inshallah in the final lecture tomorrow, or the penultimate lecture, I can't remember which, when we'll be going through the subject of the enumeration of Allah's names, we'll go through some of the names of Allah, inshallah, and show this relationship between Allah's names and our acts of ibadah. It's very important, inshallah, to try to understand this concept. And we've just given a few examples just to get the point across. Okay, the next point. In this world, knowledge is categorized at different levels. Top of my head, picked a few subjects: computer science, medicine, history, and geography. Who could tell me out of these four sciences, what is generally considered to be the most excellent knowledge or the most excellent science? Anyone? Medicine. Because you study medicine. Does everybody agree on that? Okay, who disagrees? Come on. Let's have a show of hands. Who agrees with that statement? That medicine will be considered the most excellent form of knowledge in this world. I'm talking about the dunyavi knowledge, the knowledge of this life. One person agrees with it. Everybody else disagrees, right? Who disagrees? Put your hand up. Why do you disagree? Yeah, the people in general. I'm not talking about with regards to the hereafter or whatever. So, generally, everybody agree? Okay. Generally, you don't.
I don't agree that people generally regard medicine to be the most valuable.
Okay, let's go again. Generally, okay, people value knowledge according to its subject matter. Okay, according to its subject matter. So if, for example, computer science, the subject matter there is, you know, information technology, computers and so on. The subject matter of the study of medicine would be humans. Okay? The subject matter with regards to history would be more to do with history itself, the past and so on. Subject matter with regards to geographies, places and so on. I think, my opinion, it seems, that the most valued knowledge, I would say, would be medicine for the reason that you're studying humans and generally people consider if we compare medicine with the knowledge of veterinary science, let's say, people, I would say, would generally consider doctors to be superior. I'm not saying this is right or wrong, okay, but I'm just saying generally people will consider, through my experience of people, to consider doctors superior than vets. Why? Because the doctor, he studied the knowledge regarding to people, okay, and life revolves around people. I mean, you know, quite frankly, I mean, in the same, life revolves around people. Whereas the dog or the cat or the fish, life doesn't really revolve around the dog or the cat or the fish, apart from for some people. Okay, so the subject matter in question is the point that I'm mentioning, is probably the thing that gives value to the knowledge. So what about the subject matter with regards to Allah's names and attributes, the topic of Allah's names and attributes? The subject matter here is Allah Himself. Is Allah Himself. So people want to know about people. They want to know about people. How does this organ work? How does this particular part of the body, you know, function? History, again, from one angle, revolves around people. Okay, the past. How did people do things in the past? What did they do? And so on and so forth. Geography, to some degree, revolves around people. Okay, a lot of sciences revolve around people to their various degrees. But the more that a particular science revolves around people in the world today, we find that people find that more important, because it helps understand the humans and where they came from and so on, where they came from and so on. So that's the case in the knowledge of this world, And what about the knowledge of the of Allah Ta'ala? If we seek to understand, or we seek to try to understand Allah, there's no other way, as you mentioned in the first point, except through what He Himself has told us. And as we said earlier on in the first point again, we mentioned the fact that Allah Himself makes this knowledge the most superior type of knowledge. Why? Because He said, the Ayat al-Kursi, on the lips of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a hadith, that Ayat al-Kursi is the greatest ayah in the Qur'an. All it is description of Allah's knowledge and attributes. That Surah al-Ikhlas is worth a third of the Qur'an. All it is a description of Allah's names and attributes. So it seems, or it is no doubt, that this type of knowledge is the most excellent and the most virtuous type of knowledge. In fact, from this knowledge, and that leads to the next point, is that from this knowledge stems the knowledge of everything besides Allah, from the knowledge of His names and attributes. We'll give a couple of examples, inshallah. So, for example, the fact that anything happens in the world, whatever happens, be it good or bad in our eyes, we know that it is done by one who is Al-Hakim, the most wise. We know it is done by the one who is Al-Adl, the most just. And Allah. So anything that takes place in the world, it has wisdom behind it. Anything at all has wisdom behind it. I mean, for example, some people, they ask me, okay, if Allah knows what your deeds are going to be in this world, and He knows. He knows this person is going to end up in the hellfire, and this person is going to end up in the paradise. If Allah knows this already beforehand, then why is it that He's testing us? He says, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. He said, the one who created death and life, to test which of you is best in conduct. So he's actually testing you. Why is He testing you? They say, if Allah already knows the answer to this. If Allah Ta'ala was to stand us up, okay, leave that aside for a minute. If any individual, any person, say a person stood you up and said, I would have given you £100, but I know that you would have spent it on alcohol, so therefore I didn't give it to you. You say, wow, that's a bit unjust, isn't it? It's a bit unjust, you haven't even tested me. How can you say that? If that's the case with something as simple as that, how about this whole life? How about the punishment, the hellfire, the paradise, the reward, the paradise? Yes? Allah doesn't want to leave any hujjah for us whatsoever. Any argument for us whatsoever that we can stand up Yawm al-Qiyamah and say, you weren't just, Allah. What you did was not just. So that's one example of how you can see the fact that we are living comes from Allah's justice. Is that clear? Is that clear? The fact that Allah gives us air to breathe is from His rahmah, His mercy. The fact that Allah gives us food and drink is from His mercy. The fact that He created us is because He is Al-Khaliq. He's the Creator. All stems from Allah's names and attributes. The fact that He sustains us comes from His name Al-Razzaq. The one who sustains, the sustainer. Can you see how the names and attributes link to everything or everything besides Allah? And the creation as a whole. Anything that we are capable of doing, it will happen. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala really allowed us to do it. All comes from Allah's names or attributes. Yeah? So the next point, inshallah, is the fact that this knowledge increases the iman, and this is one of the main topic areas, inshallah, in these lectures. The fact that this knowledge increases the iman. Allah says, whenever a surah, a chapter of the Quran, is revealed, there are those amongst them who say, which of you has had his iman increased by it? As for those who believe, it increases their iman and they rejoice. Allah says, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَزَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَهُمْ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ. And as for those who have or who believe, when these surahs are revealed, the chapters of the Quran, the ayat of the Quran, they reveal or sent down to them, their iman increases. That's in Surah At-Tawbah, Surah number 9, verse 124 to 25. Or Surah 124. So the people who have iman, these ayat of Allah, they increase them in iman. So let's have a look at that. In fact, we'll leave that for discussion in the next lecture, inshallah. Another reason for studying this topic is because the one who enumerates ahsaha, who enumerates Allah's names, is rewarded immensely. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is in Bukhari, narrated by Abu Huraira, that Allah has 99 names, 100 minus 1, which whoever memorizes and comprehends, yani enumerates them, ahsaha, We'll enter paradise. Whoever enumerates Allah's names, and this inshallah will be a topic of its own in tomorrow's lectures, in the morning inshallah, where we'll go through some of the names of Allah and show how to enumerate them and show the understanding behind them, inshallah. Then the idea of supplication to Allah using His names. You can tell me an ayah with regards to this, regards to this matter. Arif.
Wa lillahi.
Anybody else? جيد. وَلِلَّهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحَسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. To Allah belong the most beautiful names, the most perfect names. So, call Him, supplicate to Him by them. Let's have a look at these examples of glorification and supplication of Allah with His names and attributes. Allah says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praises belong to Allah, Lord of the world. Look what He's doing. Allah is praising Himself, and we're praising Allah when we're reciting this surah. Praising. All praise belongs to Allah. He's the Lord of the world. Names and attributes. Maliki Yawmi, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawmi Din. You're praising Allah here. The most merciful, the bestower of mercy. The master of the day of judgment. You're praising Allah here. Yes? Allah says, Alhamdulillah, الذي خلق السماوات والأرض وجعل الظلمات والنور. All praises belong to Allah, who created the heavens and the earth, and He made the darknesses and the light. He's praising Him via an attribute of His, or attributes of His. Allah says, وَهُوَ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوْ لَهُ الْحَمْدُ فِي الْأُولَى وَالْآخِرَةِ. Right? Allah says that He is the one whom there is no, besides whom there is no deity worthy of worship. To Him belongs all praises in the beginning and in the akhir, at the end. Okay? From His attributes, you're praising Him. The fact that He is the only one worthy of worship, you're praising Him for that. Alhamdulillah, Fatir al-Samawati wal-Ard. All praise belongs to Allah, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Allah says, يسبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض الملك القدوس العزيز الحكيم. That all that is in heaven and earth glorifies Allah, the sovereign Lord, the holy, the almighty, the all wise, all from His names and attributes. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير. Blessed be He, in whose hand is the dominion, and He is able to do all things. الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور. The one who created death and life so that He may test which of you is best in conduct. And we, the mighty, the forgiven, supplicating and glorifying Allah by His names and attributes. In Bukhari Muslim, It narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would supplicate, "Oh Allah, all praise is due to you, belongs to you. You are the light of the heavens and the earth and all that is in them, and all praise is due to you. You are the guardian of the heavens and the earth and all that is in them, and all praise belongs to you. You are the truth and your promise is true," from his names and attributes. Some other issues with regard to Allah's names and attributes. You know Allah is Ar-Rahman, so you call him by this. You supplicate to him by this. So, Ya Rahmanu Irhamni. Oh, most merciful one, show mercy on me. Ya Ghafuru Ighfirli. Oh, one who is most forgiving, or oft forgiving. Forgive me. Huh? And so on. So you can supplicate to Allah, and the various names bring about different supplications. So imagine you want to pass your exam, because, you know, inshallah this is exam time, so I think many people will be looking for du'as. And your ways of asking Allah, you can say, Oh Allah, you are ala kulli shayin qadir, you're capable of everything. I have advised one bit, but you're capable of everything. Ya Allah, show me a miracle, although you should really tie your camel, okay? This is a perfect example, I think, inshallah. You can understand. You say, oh, well, you're capable of everything. And I know this seems like a miracle, I'm destined for like a complete failure, but let me, because you're capable of everything, make these exams easy for me, and so on and so forth. Where's the supplicating to Allah? And the final thing, which may interest some people, or should interest all of us actually, is in which Allah says in the Quran, Allah has promised those of you who have iman and do righteous deeds that will grant them khilafa in the land. Huh? He will grant them khilafa in the land, just as he has granted this to those before them. And that he would establish for them the religion which he had chosen for them. And that he would grant them safety after their fear, provided they worship me, Allah says. Provided they worship me and do not associate anything as partners with me. Whoever disbelieves after this, they are the wicked and the disobedient ones. They are the fasiqun, the sinners. Surah Nur, Surah number 24, verse 55. So, the correct aqidah, in general, is the cause of the establishment of the khilafah in the land, as Allah has promised you. You get the correct aqidah, you act upon that with iman, because we'll see that iman consists of aqidah and action, speech and action. Okay? So based upon that, the ones who have iman, Allah Ta'ala will establish them in this land with the khilafah. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala establish us on this earth, inshallah, in our time. And Abu Ali will be giving a more detailed talk with slightly related to this, inshallah, tomorrow in the latter part of the day. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت واستغفرك وأتوب إليك.
السلام عليكم. إن شاء الله if we have a break now, it's about 12, and I mean that